The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend. Check this.
It's just gone 7:05 on this Monday evening. You're welcome along to another edition of the DL Debate. No Brendan Devaney tonight. Good for some, away sunning himself in the sun somewhere foreign. But we are here to fill the void left by Brendan. And fingers crossed we'll do a half-decent job, so we're all between now and 8 o'clock. It is, of course, Championship Week, where the northwest sides of Derry and Donegal are set to go head-to-head at Celtic Park this weekend. We've got an Ulster Championship special as we look ahead to what is a massive game. And joining me in studio is Pádraig Hulfraith. Pádraig, a very good evening.
Oisín, how are you doing? Are you keeping well? Hopefully Brendan's getting a bit of a tan over there where he is, yeah. So we'll try and...
He'll be getting the top up. So we'll have another Brendan here now that's sitting alongside us. Brendan Kilcoyne, part of the Donegal under a 20 management, and of course a man that has a wealth of experience in club and county football, and he's also a Highland Radio pundit. So Brendan, good to have you back in studio.
Good to be here, Oisín. Good to see you all.
And we'll check to see how our guys are doing online this evening. The whole way to Glenties, John Gilday should be joining us. John, a very good evening.
Good evening, Oisín. And as you well know, the sun is always shining in Glenties.
So, we're getting hammered with the rain here in Letterkenny, John.
Constant all year round, Han.
Yeah.
And to follow on from what Pádraig said about Brendan's sun holiday, I hope it's raining.
And we've also got an All-Ireland winner joining us tonight from 1993, and a man that has managed his county as well at senior level. Damien Cassidy, you're welcome along to the airwaves of Highland.
Yeah, Oisín, thanks very much. Nice to be part of the conversation and the build-up of the game. And just to let John know, I made my first trip to the Glenties there during the summer. Deliberately went down to get a look at it. We have a fellow working our club there this year, and the past couple of years, Michael McLaughlin, a super coach, had worked with the Glenties for a number of seasons, so we talked that much about it. I had to go and see what it was all about. It was exhilarating.
Yeah, well, very good.
I'm shocked that it was exhilarating, but you're obviously very welcome up our neck of the woods.
Well, listen, Damien, we might start with you, and we go back to 2022 in the Ulster final. The so-called underdogs of Derry defeated Donegal in that decider to win their first Ulster title in quite a number of years. They now find themselves down the line 2 years later as a side who are seen as contenders for the All-Ireland and going for three provincials in a row. What's the feeling around the county of Derry this week? Obviously, coming into the championship off the back of a super campaign in the league where you lifted a Division 1 crown. But I'm sure there's huge momentum with that now being carried by the Oakleaf County into the championship that start this weekend.
Of course there is. Of course there is. But no, you're pensive about it. You know, there's no getting away from that element of it. You know, and I think the key ingredient and my position of being quite pensive about it is. The role that Jim McGuinness is in as a manager, and I know that's been spoken before, but in terms of his introduction and the development that the team at Donegal have had through the league, but it's still, from my own perspective, I think it's a serious factor in this game. And the other, Derry have not been good getting into the championship whenever they've won the league. I mean, I can go back as far as 92 when we won the next league. We played Tyrone the following week and we won that, but we got to the Ulster final and we lost. You know, we didn't win that championship. Donegal won that championship. 95 we won the league. 96 we won the league and we had terrible performances in the Ulster championship. 98 we actually lost the league final against I think it was Offaly, and we ended up winning the Ulster championship. And then we went to 2000 and we won the national league and we got ourselves to an Ulster final and Armagh beat us. And, you know, the last time was 2008 and we lost our first round game against Fermanagh. So, you know, there's a number of League Ones that have not been backed up in the championship. And I think it's an omen that Derry should be very mindful of, you know, because they're well set up to be to be cornered in this weekend. I mean, Donegal will have exclusively, and Jim will certainly have had exclusively had focused on the Derry game from way back when the draw was made, when he was put into that role, you know. So, you know, whereas the following, you're out, whatever, very quickly, straight afterwards, with no focus in terms of the length of time you've had to look at the opposition and really break them down and look at their strengths and their weaknesses. And no better man for the job than Jim to have done that, you know. So I am wary of this weekend. There's no point in saying it. I mean, this tag that Derry have been hot favourites for the game. I just cannot, I just can't fathom where that has come out of.
But you have a Tyrone man at the helm in there now, Damien, and it's a bit different around the Derry camp than what it was to previous years.
Oh, it is. It is. I mean, and Mickey has ounces and ounces of experience. He's been there, and this year is not a new setting. Tell him, whoever. The truth is that Jim has hunted Mickey. Yep. Whenever Jim landed on the scene and brought that revolutionary style of football that he did back in the back in that period in the after 2011-ish and 12-ish, Tyrone just couldn't get over the line against him, and didn't, they tried all sorts and it just couldn't crack that nut, so that's a additional spice in this, in terms of Mickey looking for personal revenge, in the midst of it all. He has done a super job. Rory was a catalyst for change. He picked up an awful lot of good underage teams coming through and got them gelled together. And it failed in tandem with the whole COVID situation, because Derry for a long time, we just couldn't get the club and the club and county equation separated. The man's been placed in clubs for players to play, and there was always a heaving and back and fro. And then all of a sudden, COVID comes, split season's there. And I can assure you that's been to Derry's benefit, because what we have, and it really suits us, is that we have our players exclusively focused on county football, league football. Derry is now really a secondary competition, significantly secondary competition. And then there's a new programme there for the club championship and the round robin involved in that. So those two things in tandem just came together, and it's really, really benefited Derry and over the last 4 or 5 years, and clearly over the last 3 years.
Yeah. Brendan Kilcoyne, are Derry right to be so pensive and so wary of a threat coming from a Jim McGuinness Donegal?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Derry would be, they'd be shrewd in that respect, where they wouldn't take the challenge of Donegal lightly. Oisin, and Damien referenced that they're, when McGuinness came into Donegal originally, he targeted Tyrone. He targeted them big time and went after them, chased them down and got success against them and basically turned that corner. And it was a huge thing for Donegal to do that, because we'd looked at Tyrone winning 3 All-Ireland through the noughties, and suddenly then that infused confidence right throughout the Donegal team and the Donegal supporters, and it just created huge energy. So, looking at Derry, they'll be aware that Jim has targeted this game since the draw was made. Obviously they will be, but I just feel, Derry, they've so much talent throughout their squad. They're injecting a few of these young fellas that came through their good minor squads over the last couple of years, that I would have come up against with Donegal minors, and I feel their squad is stronger. If you go back to last year's semi-final, Paddy McGrogan got injured early on in the game and went off, and I just feel they didn't have the right cover to cover that, whereas now I feel they're better equipped in that respect squad-wise. And when you're preparing for a championship, you're not preparing 15 players, you're playing 25, 30 players, because they will make a difference as the championship goes on, Oisin. And I feel they're a lot better positioned this year than they have been for the last couple of years. And there's a certain amount of pressure on Derry from the point of view, expectation levels now are very high. They've won 2 Ulsters in a row, they've won a National League title, and that brings its own pressures, and it's how Derry can deal with that with inside the four walls of their dressing room.
Yeah. We'll bring in John Gilday. John, do you feel that there's not much pressure on Donegal coming into this game compared to that of Derry, who need to answer the question of, are they the rightful holders to win Ulster 3 times in a row? This young Donegal team, now we keep saying that it's a young Donegal team, but when you look at the teams, John, from the last couple of years, there hasn't been this massive change of players in the Donegal camp, but they're under Jim McGuinness now, and there doesn't seem to be any pressure with the way they're playing their football, and in particular when you go into a championship opener.
Yeah, I suppose, listen, it's perfectly set up because you're going into the Lion's Den in Celtic Park, and, you know, Derry, everybody's talking about Derry, and rightly so. You know, the standout team in Ulster for the last 3 years. And even if you strip it back, as well as the National League and as well as back-to-back Ulsters and competing very, very well in the championship after that, they're also all Ireland club championships as well. So that's all fed through. There's just, it's a breeding ground and of success. And I think, you know, Damien alluded to COVID being a part of that. And then Conor Glass coming back into the setup around that time as well has seemed to have a major driving force in the whole thing. But I suppose from Jim's perspective, maybe if Jim wasn't involved, there would be a much higher level of confidence in Derry. I think Jim does bring the unknown factor. Dublin found that out in 2014 when they weren't going to be stopped, and then all of a sudden they were stopped. And we lost the All-Ireland final a couple of weeks later. So he does bring an unknown factor, and I think that's the exciting thing about the game. You can be sure he's going to try something. We have no idea what he's going to try, but is it enough to upset the apple cart, which is that Derry team right now, which is, you know, it's one of the best teams probably that's come out of Ulster from a consistency perspective since that very, very good Tyrone team about 10 or 15 years ago. So it's a huge, huge undertaking for Donegal. We have a lot of experience in the team. We're not a young team, as you rightly pointed out. We've blended some young lads in there, but
do we have the players, John, to upset Derry?
We do. Because ultimately, when they lost the first time round, you know, the question was asked, do we have the players to upset Tyrone? And then we won All Ireland. So the answer is yes. On any given day, and as the lads will all know, Ulster's a very unique situation when it comes to championship, it's a real championship. You know, you go back to Damien's day and my day, you know, firm favourites got beat time and time again. Now, that doesn't happen as often anymore because there's a level of professionalism in the game that takes away that unknown factor. But Ulster Championship does bring upsets. It does bring big occasions. And this is going to be the biggest occasion in Ulster probably this year, bar the Ulster final. So Donegal have a shot. It's now, don't get me wrong, it's not that we're going in there and 50-50 footing. You know, anybody who knows anything about football and would put Derry ahead of everybody else in Ulster right now, and rightly so. But we definitely have a puncher's chance of going in there. And if a couple of things go our way, and the game can run away from you, and the pressure, you know, comes on Derry, and we can see it out. You know, we have a shot, but it's not a great chance, but we're definitely in the shout.
Okay, listen, you're tuned in to Highland Radio on this Monday evening at 17, almost 18 minutes past 7. It's the DEL debate as we look ahead to Derry against Donegal in the championship opener for both counties this coming weekend. And we'll have more in the preview of that game after this commercial break.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
Derry against Donegal in the quarterfinal of the Ulster Championship will of course be live on Highland this coming Saturday evening. The throw-in time is 6:15. We'll have the build-up from just after 5:30. And Martin McHugh will be joining myself on commentary for the game. Brendan Devaney will also be there in a working capacity as well. On the show tonight, we've got Damien Cassidy, former Derry manager and 93 All-Ireland winner, former Donegal star player John Gilday, and in studio, Brendan Kilcoyne and Pádraig Hulfordy.
Yeah, thanks very much, Oisin. It's a mouth-watering tie to look forward to on Saturday night in Celtic Park. The sun, hopefully, will be in the sky. And, well, look, I suppose as we look forward to the game, the big questions coming out of the Donegal camp is, of course, the injuries. The injury list has been added to, of course, Patrick McBurtie, indications that he will not be fit either. Ryan McHugh, Brennan McCall, obviously, Owen Band Gallagher is another doubt as well, Oisin. But suppose a man with his finger on the pulse here in the county is Brendan Kilcoyne. Brendan, suppose we're going to put you on the spot here. Any further news on the four lads, the four experienced lads, it has to be said as well?
Well, Pádraig, there's a pitch 5 in Convoy Centre of Excellence that has a wall built around it, and no one knows anything what's happening inside that wall. And genuinely, we've no idea what level these guys are at. I would like to think, you know, that most of them are, if not all of them, will be back. I think it is crucial. You know, you've Brendan McCall back in the full back line. He's been a fantastic full back for Donegal for the last number of years. Owen Bann with that driving force. So if you've Brendan McCall and we'd say Kieran Moore, cornerback, you've great pace coming out. And, you know, the game has changed so much now. You look at what Derry have done. You look at Conor McCluskey, the attacking threat that he provides from deep for Derry. And, you know, if we can get these players fit and on the pitch, it'll obviously make a huge difference. You have the experience then of Patrick and Ryan, be key that they are ready and fit because they've been there, done that kind of thing. You know, Patrick, you know, is still only 30, played 12 years ago, played in an All-Ireland final. It's hard to believe that he's around as long as he is. And, of course, Ryan, who was instrumental in the run in 2014 with his experience. So these players are key to Donegal. And, we can only speculate where they're at fitness-wise. But if they're on the field, it's obviously going to give Donegal a huge, huge opportunity, a huge chance. The big thing, I suppose, you know, going into Celtic Park, home advantage, there's going to be a cracking atmosphere in there on Saturday evening. And it's massive, I think, home advantage that Derry have. I suppose the only Derry question mark is around Gareth McInnes. And, you know, he came on the league final, went off again. And he's been a huge player for Derry, so he has over the last number of years. So they'll be looking at the fitness of him. But we won't find out these things until Saturday, and we'll know more then. But between now and then, all we can do is speculate on who'll be available. I think they'll all be available, but I don't know. I've no inside information.
Yeah, I think you know something there, Abraham.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely
well,
not.
Well, we hope that is definitely going to be something we will look forward to, hopefully seeing Patrick Ryan and Brendan McCall and Noan Bann on the pitch. Let's get the Derry opinion. Damien, suppose from Derry's point of view, has Mickey got a full deck to deal with?
Aye, well, they went for a week to Portugal there last week, you know, and that's probably has been seriously timely on the back of the Dublin victory, because, I mean, we've all been around whenever teams have got success, you know, against the team that you're hunting, you know, and for Derry, you know, Kerry and clearly Dublin, we needed to get over the line somewhere to get that belief that we're, you know, could compete with them at that level at the latter stages of the championship, you know, so that would have created a bit of energy, and also that conversation we had earlier on about the potential, you know, overconfidence even, and, you know, but the thing for me, to be honest with you, is, you know, it's what strategy is going to be brought to the game, you know, that's going to make the real difference here, you know, and it's very interesting that through the league, you know, with Donegal, you know, they very deliberately changed the approach that they were taking, and at a very, very high press, and I think that's very deliberate on Jim's part, looking at the brand of football that they play, and particularly, you know, the style of where they take the ball out of defence, you know, and really, you know, we're all possession-based. Of course, we're all possession-based, but it was a really significant change in terms of a high press and trying to box players off and use the sidelines as an extra defender to try and create that type of chaos, you know, and I think that's a very deliberate thing that Donegal have tried to develop over the course of the league to try and bring into the game in Celtic Park.
Looking at it, Damien, as well, I suppose it's been well noted that Derry scored 16 goals, 50% in the league, that is, 50% coming from defenders. But we've been discussing here about the matchups for the game. Is there anything in specific that you can see from a Derry point of view that Mickey's going to, you know, pinpoint a number of Donegal players? Because there's a few names within the Derry squad that Donegal have to really, really marshal. Who do you feel Mickey's going to maybe target from a Derry point of view?
I mean, these are obvious, you know. I mean, Oisin Gallen and itself, and I guess the undercurrent to that game, as you know, was that Oisin gave Chrissy an absolute cleaning out in the qualifier game last year, you know, and Chrissy's a very proud type of individual, you know, and takes his responsibilities very, very seriously, and as a leader, you know, within that group, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how Chrissy responds to that, you know, because Oisin's really on top of his game in serious, serious condition. And his confidence, you know, through that campaign has been through the roof in terms of the scores that he's hit, you know, off either side, you know. So I'm really looking forward particularly to that combo. Patrick McBrady, if he's fully fit, if I was the Derry manager with McCluskey starting on the full back line, I would be very tempted to put McCluskey on to Patrick, because I think Patrick could have a tough area wanting to chase after McCluskey with the pace that he brings and the timing of the runs he makes, you know. And that's the risk of that in terms of the match fitness that can be brought to that, you know. So that potentially could be an interesting development over the course of the game, how that potentially Derry would want to try and exploit that mobility element of it, you know. So those are two key. The one I look at the Donegal midfield, and you know, I see an awful lot of championship potential in them, and at various stages each one of them have shown, you know, glimpses of the actual potential that's in them. They're two really big men and two really mobile men, but, you know, can they get that consistency that Jim, you know, will be wanting from him, and what Donegal will need to, you know, progress as a team over the next 12 and 24 months into that championship mode that they would hope to get to, you know. So those are particularly key things, and the work rate then comes from, you know, that front six, front eight, front 12, I guess, in terms of that, I think will come with a high press, try and slow down Derry's possession game, because it's a very deliberate style of play that Derry have in terms of how they come up the pitch with the ball and everybody together, so there's no separation in the players, so then they can start drawing, pulling defences apart for those runs that come from their deep players. And I think it was Brenton mentioned Gareth McInnes there, and, you know, Gareth has been absolutely fundamental to Derry's development over the last 4 years, and he is one of these players who definitely breaks lines, you know, in a serious, serious way. And I would dread to think that he's not laying out now on Saturday evening.
Yeah. Damien, you talked about the style of football that Donegal is playing. What about the style of football that Derry is playing? And I suppose sort of crowding out boxes and crowding out areas. One thing Derry done in the league final was they kept Con O'Callaghan to 5 points, five of which all came from frees. He didn't score from play. And that was a huge factor in that game. Is it going to be someone similar on Saturday, the way Derry play that, sort of with those key players and trying to target those key players?
Well, I mean, it would have to be. I don't think you could expect anything different, you know. And, you know, the you're correct in saying, you know, Derry certainly closed down that whole area, you know, on top of the D, right, six metres other side of the goalpost. They absolutely clogged that entire area. And there was, you know, then there was a hunting of players coming from that, you know. And that extra couple of weeks they've had, particularly the time that they've had in Portugal, will allow them to, you know, really analyse themselves in terms of hopefully making that an absolutely, you know, replicating and that pattern of play that they brought to it, you know. And additionally, what I've seen Derry doing over the course of the league is that possession of the game, when they get the turnovers in defence, you know, we've seen a much quicker attack coming out of defence whenever the opportunity has been there to exploit it. And we've seen it in the Donegal game where players were prepared to lift their head and deliver that 35, 40-yard pass when players are available to get the ball moving out of their hands really quickly when the space was there to be exploited. And that's something that's been developed without question over the course of the league. And, you know, whilst we're talking about Mickey, Gavin Devlin has been, you know, a long-term partner with Mickey since over 10 years now. Gavin is a tremendous coach, and, you know, he would have been very much responsible for developing that play that Derry have brought to broaden their game.
John, suppose when we look from a Donegal point of view, look, we've heard so much about the Derry forwards, but looking from a defendant's point of view, you're looking at a number of players. McCluskey coming forward. You've also got Gareth McInnes will be starting as well, but there's a number of key matchups there. First of all, I suppose the big question to answer is, who's going to pick up Shane McGuigan from a Donegal point of view?
Well, if Cole's fitness, I think it's an obvious thing that Cole does that, because he's been an outstanding fullback for them, and then it was three years ago, John, was he made his debut?
Right.
About 3 years ago, so he has shown himself to be a magnificent find as a fullback. So he's the obvious guy to do it, I would have thought.
Yeah, I suppose, John, from a Donegal point of view, who do you feel can maybe pick up Shane McGuigan on Saturday night?
I agree with Damien as regards Brendan McCall. I suppose the only downside from Brendan McCall's point of view is he hasn't played football in the last 6 weeks. He's been out through injury. So that's like putting him, even if he is fit, putting him cold into that type of situation is going to be a big, big ask. I really like Keir Moore. I like the way he plays football. I think he's sticky, he's big, he's strong, he's fast, and he's physical. I think he could do a really good job in there. I think, you know, he would be an ideal man for somebody of that pace and how tricky he is. And just maybe going back to how the game's going to pan out, I think that there has to be a huge acknowledgement from a Donegal perspective of the way that Derry play the game. Derry want you to attack them. They basically want you to come at them, and then they break incredibly fast. I wouldn't be as sure as everybody else is that we're going to high press. I think we'll maybe go high press at different stages throughout the game. But I just think the one downside to the high press is, and Derry have the players that can compete in the middle of the park and can go over the press, that if the press doesn't work, Derry are the one team, and also right now, that are super clinical and can move from defence into attack in seconds, and then you're wide open and a goal or two and the game's over. So it'll be interesting dynamic to see. I know we played with the high press at different times throughout the league, and then we sometimes we didn't play against it. I think that's the uniqueness of Jim, in the sense that we don't really know what Donegal are going to play. It's very much, you know, he caters his approach to the team that he's playing. Derry are a very unique proposition right now. And if you looked at the league finals, the Donegal-Armagh game was a very good league final. But let's be honest, it was pedestrian at best. There was no pace in the game, apart from maybe the last 7 or 8 minutes. And then you compare that to the cut and thrust of the Derry-Dublin match, which was almost at, if not at championship pitch, very close. And the level of physicality and athleticism and, you know, power that both Dublin and Derry showed on the day was something that I think we'll have difficulties living with, and we'll really have to get to the pitch of the game early on. So from a Donegal perspective, I think the slower this game is, the better. I think this has to be slowed down. We have to remember that this is Jim is the man that went to Dublin and parked the bus and two or three buses in 2011. Nothing's beyond the realms of possibility. I think if we go out and we get into a gunslinging match with Derry, given where they are on their journey and given the calibre of player that we have, it'll be a very exhilarating match, but a very long evening for us. So, you know, I would take a 7-6-1 and more than happy with that. And if Damien spent any time around Glenties, you know, we're quite happy with that kind of thing up
love
there.
That. I love it. You love that sort of stuff.
We love it up there.
Body up.
A good defensive encounter is what Ulster needs right now, just to bring it back to basics, because, you know, Derry are playing far too much exciting football for anybody's liking up here.
Yeah. Well, but if that is the case, then how key is the keeper's going to be, John? We know the way that football has evolved, and how key the kick out and the goalkeeper is now. And if you're going to add in the play around the middle third, if the game's going to be that style, how's that end of it going to pan out?
It'll be huge. You know, obviously Patton is a phenomenal kicker. I would suggest that he's a better kicker than Lynch. Lynch then obviously is much more comfortable on the ball. So, you know, we'll want our share of kick outs. He'll get them away. There'll be no issues there. If we don't do a high press, then there's no pressure on the Derry kick out. And then what we'll do is we'll meet them at the halfway line and blocks it at that point in time. So it obviously just depends on what both teams' attitude is towards the kick outs. If the press comes on, then it becomes a game of cat and mouse. But most teams now are at this level, and Donegal have improved so much over the last 12 months, that the anticipation is that they're going to get off 90% of the kickouts, and Derry exactly the same. So it might be a struggle at times, but you'd expect a high percentage of kickoffs to get away. Then it becomes, if it doesn't, then it becomes a battle in the middle of the park. And I think, you know, Derry at this point in time have the best midfield bar none in the country. I think they proved that last weekend when they went toe to toe to Dublin.
Do you look to avoid that then, John?
Well, I think in the air we can compete. I think what makes Derry unique is on the ground.
Their mobility
on the ground. They, like, you know, Glass and Rogers are two of the most mobile midfielders I've ever seen play Gaelic football. They're up there with Fenton. Those three are the standout midfielders, the Rolls Royces. So, you know, Rogers in the air, would I worry about him around the middle of the park? No. Glass will catch an odd high ball if he comes in behind you. But in the air, we're not gonna lose out to Derry, but it's on the ground and the level of speed and power and pace that Derry midfield brings that we'll have to live with. But if they get open ground, you know, Glass has been phenomenal all year for club and county. Rogers has been, to me, one of the best footballers in Ulster for the last 3 or 4 years, bar none, and probably doesn't get the credit that Glass gets. But from a team perspective, it's hugely important. So I'm not worried about the aerial side of midfield, but I would be worried about the level of influence they have and the rest of the game, the ground they cover. They work so unbelievably hard. They're effective on both sides of the ball. And then you add in McFaul again, you know, who's a workhorse and a dog. So, listen, it's a big, big chore. There's no doubt about it. It's a big ask for this Donegal team. We've come off a terrible season last year. Jim has done an amazing job. Priority number one was to get out of Division 2. That box was checked. You can be sure he earmarked Derry from very early on. whether we're far enough along on our journey to put it up to Derry and really go at them, you know, we'll know at the weekend.
Yeah, if we are going to go at Derry, and say we do get into a slugfest and it's going to be a low-scoring game, Damien, how's Donegal going to break down this Derry side?
Well, Keith, I mean, patience is clearly going to be part of it, you know, and I do agree with John, you know, whilst I was alluding to the high press, and I was specifically doing that on the basis of what we've seen, you know, Donegal trying to develop themselves through. There's certainly no way, and I agree with John, that they're going to do that for 75 minutes, because that's physically, you know, a physical impossibility in the middle of it. So you're going to get this absolute blend of it all. You know, the confidence in Donegal, you know, in terms of their forwards, it has to be reasonably good. You know, whenever you come off the back of one in the league and you come out of Croke Park, you know, it does galvanise and gives you an inch in your step. And there's a number of, you know, there are a number of players to come back into a squad that's going to develop it further. So, you know, Kieran Thompson has been a big player for Donegal. And, you know, you did discuss earlier on about how Derry had really closed down that central plank against Dublin and that, you know, key individuals had a minimal impact from play that they would normally have, you know. So you will be looking to see players who have got the capacity to kick from distance, and also players who have got the ability, you know, to change angle of runs coming in through those lines to create those opportunities in front. And that's where I think Donegal are really strong whenever you look at the mobility of the players. Not John talked about the midfield maybe not being as mobile as Brendan and Connor. But whenever you get into the Mohans and we talked about, you know, Thompson, and if you throw on Owen Bann and Ryan McHugh, you know, that you would expect to be involved. These players are very, very mobile. And the thing I'm very interested to see is, you know, how much, you know, that belief that they have in Jim, how much that's going to impact on their belief and their own performance to take that game today. And that's the bit that's going to be very, very interesting, because those players are absolutely key in terms of the mobility and the angles of runs and change of angles that they can create to create those scoring opportunities for those younger lads that have come in around them, you know. So that's where their strength of their team is going to lie at. It's not going to be lying on the full forward line per se, because and Oisin, I'd be very surprised to see Oisin stuck and tight. I expect him to come out round trying to feed off those wee angled runs and people just popping the ball to him when he's in that pocket between sort of the 45 and the D, those two pockets right and left of it, where he can find the ball and slot shots off in 2-3 steps.
Yeah. Okay, listen guys, we have to catch up on a commercial break here. We'll be back with more on the Derry Donegal Championship preview after these.
The DL Debate with Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love till 9 p.m. daily in Sarah's Kitchen. And there's free admission entertainment every weekend.
And you're welcome back to the DL Debate live on Highlands here. It is just shy of 17 minutes away from 8 o'clock. By the way, there's an up for the match happening this coming Thursday, the 18th of April, being hosted by Glenswilly GAA Club. And on the panel will be All-Ireland winners for Donegal, Neil Geller and Michael Murphy. And also from the County of Derry, Tony Scullion and Joe Brawley. The doors will open at 7 o'clock. And the discussion, the debate will get underway at 8 p.m. There's more details available on the Glenswilly GAA social media channels about that event. They're all looking very young in the poster for the event, but they'll not be so young looking sitting up on the stage for that one. So the best of luck with that. It's guaranteed to be a good night out in Glenswilly on a Thursday. Porrick.
Yeah, Big Neil looking very good on the poster, I have to say. But I suppose we know, Brendan, how Derry are going to line out because of the team they played against Dublin. It looks like it's going to be very, very similar. But the big thing from a Donegal point of view, we don't know who is going to be starting where. That's definitely something that's going to stifle Derry a little bit, do you feel?
Well, listen, we don't know. Even in Donegal here, we don't know how they're going to line up, kind of thing, because of the aforementioned, you know, injuries to Brendan, Patrick, Owen and Ryan. And, you know, you look at the likes of Padraig Mogan, he's played in nearly every position on the field through the league. Where is he going to line out? What task is he going to be assigned? And then you see Derry, you know, they've been so steady in their selection. Not only, you know, there's been very little change. I think Lachlan Murray came in this year for Benny Hearn, who retired. And that's the only real big change to that Derry team that you see from last year. But with Donegal, whilst, you know, there's a lot of experience throughout the field, but because of the disruption through injuries and one thing or another. We just don't know. Now, I suppose the only positive, you know, you look at, like, Keelan McGonigal has been really good, I feel, for Donegal throughout the league, playing a lot of his football at six and has done really well there. And that's a problem position for Donegal, I think, over the last couple of years. So, you know, Jason, the fact Jason McGee got 40, 50 minutes in the league final is positive too. A huge man with huge football ability. So the fitness of these guys will be, you know, very important as to how Donegal can line out and what they bring to the game. And, you know, we spoke, John and Damien spoke about, you know, high press and all that kind of thing. So, you know, the game will determine when to press and when you don't press and how that game, how it's flowing and that. But how these guys are ready to go out in the field after not getting much game time in their legs would be a concern, I'm sure, for Jim going into this game against a team that are at the peak of fitness and at the peak of confidence. So that would be the only question mark I would have.
We'll bring in Damien Cassidy once again, because Damien, whoever wins this game is going to meet the winner of Tyrone or Cavan. They play in the other quarter-final game on Sunday. We've got there's a Tyrone man now in charge of Derry. You're a Derry man that's going to comment on Tyrone and how their season has panned out on the league. But there's one thing for sure, is this is definitely seems to be the more difficult side of the draw. So it does.
All the teams are packed in until, you know, outside of Armagh, all packed into that side of the draw, you know, and Armagh have been very fortunate that they're looking for the second year in a row where they haven't had to meet, you know, a top team to qualify for the Ulster final. Cavan had a great result against Monaghan. I can't say that it was a shock as such. A surprise might be a better way of putting it, more than a shock. Monaghan's league form coming into it was abysmal, and I suppose it's easy talking in the aftermath of it. You always expected Monaghan to bring a bit more to it, but clearly the fact that they got relegated had a serious impact on the group in general, you know, where they've always managed to stave off relegation year on year, but it clearly impacted on them. And Cavan, you know, come through Division 2 and got enough out of that to allow them to prepare, and they put in a fantastic performance. They got that result, and Paddy Lynch, obviously, is top quality forward, no question about it. He's quick, mobile, and he's big, and he's physically strong, and he can play football. And he's going to be a major concern, and I would expect Hamsey to be tailored with that job as usual, and you would expect that Hamsey to do. He's been given all the tough jobs and the Tyrone, the jersey over the last number of years, you know, and it's going to be, you know, the Tyrone thing. It's a big year for the management set up in Tyrone, you know, because they after they won the Ireland, they've really flattered to deceive, and I know they lost a lot of players. They lost a lot of players who decided that, you know, they'd achieve what they wanted to achieve, and they stepped away, and left the panel very, very vulnerable, and they've been, I guess, tried their best to work with what they had, and they've made the decision now this year from the very, very beginning of the league to bring in as many young players as could bleed into that team as possible. And that is, you know, that helps. We've been around enough teams ourselves to know that the introduction of youth always helps with, you know, developing and, you know, enthusiasm and creating that competition and making those players who have got a wee bit comfortable in their skin to feel, well, my place isn't just as comfortable as I thought it was, and we're going to have to up the performance. However, there's key players that have not played through that league for Tyrone, and let's not forget that league only finished 3 weeks ago, and they're critical. You know, Myler's very clearly a very obvious one. Matty Donnelly was coming back towards the end of the league, you know, and they need those type of players to give them the experience that you'd want, that lovely blend of experience that you would have with older players who've got quality and experience, along with those young, youthful players who are exuberant and want to, you know, and play with no fear to an extent. So I think there's more questions about Tyrone getting into this game more than Cavan. And I wouldn't be, you know, I don't know, to be honest, really quite how to call it. If I could trust Cavan to come and do a back-to-back in the Ulster Championship, you know, that would be a serious step forward for that group of players. And I know it was only a handful of years back that they won the Ulster through that COVID. You know, and there's still enough players involved in that in the Cavan setup who have that experience. So it's a really hard game to call because of it, you know. I'm going to go. I think the home venue is going to be a critical part in this. I think it's going to be a massive part of it.
Yeah. That result, the Cavan won that Ulster, and it's still a sore point in Donegal, so it is, Damien. We were talking beforehand that it doesn't really feel like Championship Week. The league's only finished. We've had hailstones and high winds. It felt like November today with the weather, and it is going to pick up for the weekend. So hopefully we'll get really into Championship mode over the next couple of days. We're going to sew out the programme now, guys, and sort of just wrap it up by getting your final calls on how you think this game is going to go. And John Gilday will bring you back in again. We conceded three goals, John, against Derry in the game in McCool Park last year. You have made the suggestion that things are going to be a lot tighter with Jim McGuinness now back at the reins. But I think the amount of room that Derry was given on our last experience with them in Balbuffet, we're not going to show that much space on the pitch, are we, this weekend?
No, you wouldn't expect so. Ultimately, goals are huge scores in any type of game, even in league football, but in Championship football, like the magnitude that's attached to a goal is huge, just from bringing the crowd into the game and everything else. And, you know, whatever chance we have going into Derry to play a match, if you get the crowd involved early and, you know, things are bouncing along, it's a longer 70, 80 minutes in there. So I'd imagine we'll try to keep it very tight. I think Derry won last year maybe by 7 or 8 points in the end, but, you know, I was at that match and they were far better than the scoreline actually reflected as well. I think any time we came within 5 or 6 points, they upped the tempo and we weren't able to live with them. So we're not going in without hope. It's Ulster Championship. It would be a huge result from a Donegal perspective. And should we be lucky enough, I'm going to say something somewhat controversial here, maybe from Damien's point of view, but Derry losing that game, while Mickey Hart mightn't like that, in the long run might prove to be a blessing in disguise for Derry, because I think the trials and tribulations have gone through an Ulster Championship. You'll more than likely end up with a Tyrone, then you end up with an Armagh. And if you look at Kerry and Dublin, they're going to saunter through to when it really matters without any real competition. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for Derry not to win another Ulster Championship, even though that's not what they're setting their stall out to do. But if they're looking further down the line, I feel that whatever happens at the weekend, Derry are much further along the path to winning on All-Ireland, and that's the ultimate goal from Mickey and the team in Derry. So I give us a fighting chance, but on form and everything that's gone past, you would have to say that Derry are firm favourites, and rightly so.
Yeah, the Ulster Championship is something that's always, Brendan, we do look forward to. The first opening 10 minutes, so helter-skelter. If Donegal is going to win this game, they have to keep the goals out. And Derry, well, as we've been saying, they scored 16 goals in the league. Can Donegal curtail that threat coming forward?
Yeah, it's a massive ask against this Derry team, who have been, you know, they've been scoring goals at will throughout the league, so they have, and a lot of them coming from deep lying defenders. So it's going to be a huge task, and I suppose, you know, Jim McGuinness is training with Donegal over in Convoy this week, and their main thing, objective, will to be in the game with 10, 15 minutes to go, and if they can achieve that, you just don't know what will happen. Now, that's very easy for us to sit here and, you know, say that if you're in the game in 10 or 15 minutes to go, that you have a big part of the job done. This Derry team is exceptional. We know how good they are. So it's a huge ask for Donegal. Derry are going to be hot favourites going into this game. No matter what way you look at it, you know, they're favourites for a reason, because of what they produced over the last two seasons. And they deservedly go in as favourites. And that'll suit Donegal and Jim McGuinness quite nicely. And they'll be working on a defensive structure over there. They know, in order to be in touch with this Derry team going down the final straight, they'll need to shut out the goals. And that'll determine then where they are with 10 or 15 minutes to go. So huge ask. But Donegal, with all their correct players on the pitch, are well capable of doing it, and a good defensive system. And listen, we'll have to wait till Saturday to see what transpires out of that.
And Damien, will Donegal be still in this tie, do you feel, when we hit the closing minutes, under the closing 5 or 6 minutes of the game? Is it something
to do with it? You know, Donegal are now a Division 1 team. So there isn't a massive gap, you know, that some people are trying to allude to. And I know everybody's got their wee angles in the middle of us, but they are now a Division 1 team. So, you know, there isn't that massive gap that we're talking about. And I do expect, you know, whenever you get teams, you know, who are not that far apart, You know, we're not playing a Division 4 team or a Division 3 team, regardless of, you know, the slant that maybe John wants to put in this and Brenton wants to put in the middle of all that. We're two Division 1 teams. So the gap is not that big. And this game will go down to last 10 or 15 minutes. So, well, I guarantee it. You know, you go to the bookies and you'll get bloody decent odds. That's where this game's going to go to. And at that stage, it's going to, you know, there might be a wee bit of a look on it and there might be a referee's call. But at that stage, it's going to be the team who has, who's calm, who's got a strong bench, and who maximises the opportunity to come their way. Derry, you know, clearly I'm a Derry man, so I'm going to back Derry to win this game. I think that, unlike, you know, some of the previous teams in the past, I think this is a pretty humble group. I think they've got a lot, you know, the three or four really strong leaders in around the change room that keeps their feet well on the ground. And I don't think that, you know, the victory from Dublin will have put them in a place where they've taken their eye off the ball. I think they'll have learned a lesson. I also think that Mickey's will sense this as a massive opportunity for him to put something to bed with the competition that he has had, him and Jim have had, especially over the last lot of years with the Donegal and Throne setup. And I think that he will take this very personally to try and create that opportunity for him to get one over him and, at that level of football with a top team. So I'm expecting the game to come down that lesser to 10 or 15 minutes and expect Derry to pull through.
Damien, if Derry do get beat at the weekend, you do have the right man in charge, because Tyrone did lose in the Ulster Championship, and then he's the only man to guide a team through the qualifiers to All-Ireland success. So,
yeah, and it's not the end of the world. There's no question about that. The whole landscape around the whole Championship has changed, you know, in the last few years. So it is not the end of the world by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, a winning team, a winning mentality, I just think where Derry at, I just think they need to go with the whole hog. I don't think there's...
And probably when you add in the condensed season as well, Damien.
Aye, well, of course it is. There you go. I mean, we're talking about the start of July for the semi-finals, you know, so we're not talking about September here, so we're not. So they will have planned for that. You know, this is not an accident of where Derry at. They've planned for what it is and what they want to do. And the appetite I think our players have will sustain the whole way through that, the Championship. But at the same time, you know, that back door that you referred to, you couldn't have a better man involved in the midst of it. And John did say that it may be to Derry's benefit in the long term. I can see, you know, I can see the argument that he's making very, very clearly, because it means that they slow it down, they take stock, and not have them go helter-skelter every game through that Championship, which also clearly is, and it's a, you know, massive difference with Ulster compared to the remaining provincial championships. And I can see very strongly the rationale behind that. But I keep coming back to this, you know, this mentality, this one mentality, you know, being, you know, we can't be beat, we're invincible, and how that's going to drive a team going into Croke Park. And I don't think Derry will be taking their eye off the ball in regard to that.
Okay, listen, guys, we're running out of time. Damien Cassidy, delighted to have you on the programme. Thanks for joining us tonight, and we'll catch up again soon.
Thank you.
And as always, our regular man on the show with Brendan, John Gilday. John, good to see you, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everybody.
And also to Brendan Kilcoyne and Pádraig Hulfertey, who are in studio with us as well tonight. Once again, you can, of course, recap on the programme. It will be available shortly in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. For me, Yosh and Kelly, enjoy the rest of your Monday. And remember, if you're not at Celtic Park on Saturday, Derry against Donegal will be live here on Highland as from the 6:15 throw-in with myself and Mark McHugh in commentary. Have a very good evening.